We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the penultimate show for this year, which we begin with this item from the Portsmouth News.
The bosses of a local newspaper in Crewe asked readers to identify a picture of a well-known female singer and send their entries to the Lulu competition.
Apparently the answer was Dusty Springfield. Oh. Anyway, thanks to Robert Bambury for sending that to us. And now we greet our panel, who are guaranteed free of salmonella. To my right, the editor of Private Eye, Ian Hislop. And Ian sits next to someone who's not only very clever and urbane, but also extremely beautiful. I mean, of course, Richard Ingrams. Whoever wrote this is blind. On my left this week, we have the pleasure of welcoming a first-timer on the News Quiz, Peter Kellner, who's political columnist of The Independent. And he's teamed with the News Quiz very old-timer, editor of The Listener, Alan Corran. Richard, as ever, we begin with you. And here's the question. Who won't be rid of their turbulent priest?
Mrs. Edwina Egg. It must be the answer. Who won't be rid of their turbulent priest? Oh, the father of Booze.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Gosh, this is an old story.
No, but it goes on and on and on.
Oh, right.
I mean, the latest move is that Father Booze, or Father Patrick Ryan, as he is better known to the authorities.
If, in fact, he is known to the authorities, we have no positive proof of that.
Mrs. Thatcher, having described him as the greatest war criminal in the history of the world, says he's sure to get a fair trial if he comes over here. And Mr. Hockey disagrees with that. Stay in Ireland.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's all about Ireland, whose government have refused the extradition of Patrick Ryan, the suspected IRA priest. They'd asked if we accept two curates and a choir boy whose voice is broken instead. No, we won't, was the answer to that. Ian Hislop, welcome to you. And here's your question. Who hatched a campaign to make us shell out again?
Gosh, this is another hard one. I think this is an egg question, isn't it?
It is an egg question, my Good. God. You spotted that one pretty quickly.
There's been another campaign launched. In fact, there's the first campaign, an advertising campaign, because Mrs. Thatcher... Oh, God, I keep confusing them. Mrs. Curry said something immensely stupid. You can see how the confusion arises. about the fact that all egg production in the country was poisoned. And unfortunately, the rest of the government didn't feel this was true, particularly not the Egg Marketing Board, who have to sell the things. So they decided what they would do is, instead of saying, Mrs. Curry is an idiot, we're very sorry, is they would spend £500,000 on an advertising campaign. And the campaign appeared saying, you know, eggs in a very real sense are very much what you should be eating, possibly.
Yeah. Yes.
So now we know not to eat them.
You're quite right. It all concerns the Egg Marketing Board for mounting a £500,000 advertising campaign to convince the public that eggs are quite healthy, providing you cook them long enough for them to hatch into chickens. Peter, your first question on the News Quiz. Who's soliciting some judicial assistance? I give you a clue. It relates to Lord Mackay.
What has Lord Mackay been up to, Alan?
I know only that Lord Hailsham, 81, fell off a bus yesterday, according to the Telegraph, and was chased down the street by the conductor. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe he got off the bus, it is alleged, without paying. But his successor, Mackay, is the wee free. Is this another fundamentalist problem?
No.
Are the wee free after him again?
No.
Is this about solicitors becoming judges?
That's what it is.
Ah, well, that was the week before. Mackay is rapidly reducing the ranks, or they are self-reducing. A lot of judges are saying very silly things, and gradually dropping out and being quietly hived off and shunted. And there's this huge gap through which Mackay wishes to march bevies of solicitors who will move on to the bench.
Absolutely right.
Old story.
All concerns Lord Mackay, the Lord Chancellor, and his pilot scheme to make solicitors into judges. His lordship said that the only problem they'd encountered so far with solicitors was that whenever they had to read out the charges, they'd only quote a rate per hour. Alan, your proper question now, which starts with a piece of music.
Little children, you better not tell on me.
Alan, who didn't keep mum about motherhood?
Oh, God, you always give me a royal one. This is not the one about Dyer going to the Wolverhampton sex clinic, is it?
No.
Offering them advice. I thought that was a very good one. That was the better of them. I hope it comes up later. I shall be ready. This is about the Princess Royal, I think. Princess Anne, who was wonderful. She went on a thing called Brian Walden Interviews Princess Anne. Everyone thought this appalling person, Walden, who normally screws people up, would tear into her. And he sat there cringing, like a fawning petitioner. Who's right, like Angela, you're on a blind date. And she took over the whole thing. And she did, there was a question where she said, I don't like children, really. And he said, I'll come back to that. And then he thought about his knighthood and didn't ever go back to it. The question never reappeared. But she said she didn't like them very much. But this didn't stop her being Save the Children Fund. She would save them for somebody else, but she didn't really. She had never really liked the little things.
She
I don't know why.
She also said that she likes riding horses because they don't know she's a princess. I wonder how she knows.
Yeah.
Semantic centre of the thing.
I thought Brian Walden made Sir Alastair Burnett look tough.
Yes, that's very right.
Oh, dearie me. It's all about Her Royal Highness, the Princess Royal, who frankly admitted in an interview with Brian Walden that she's not a great fan of children. She later revealed that she only said that because she was fed up with Fergie asking her to babysit. At the end of the first round, the scores are, as traditional, 4-4. And now round two, which begins with a headline from our own Radio 4 News 2 weeks ago.
Mrs. Thatcher had a meeting with Charles Haughey, described by both sides as frank.
Oh, dear old Father Frank Haughey. Thanks to all of those who wrote in about that one. And Richard, who spoilt a track record with a criminal one?
Who indeed? I'm looking at my colleague.
And Richard's just passed me a piece of paper. He's too modest to answer this one himself.
Hirohito again?
No, this is the Bishop of Durham, the Right Reverend David Jenkins, who's been caught taking drugs before making sermons.
I think you've made a bit of a mistake there.
Oh, sorry. Is it not about a runner called David Jenkins?
It is indeed.
Who's not a bishop of anything at all, I'm sorry.
And he's the Bishop of Pot.
Some sort of drug-related story, wasn't it?
That's right, yes.
Steroids.
It is, absolutely.
Right.
Nor does Jenkins a steroid.
Criminal Personality of the Year year.
Yes, has got quite a lot of beats as well. However, the answer is David Jenkins, who was found guilty of dealing in banned steroids and sent down for 7 years, a personal best. The connections between sportsmen and drugs intensified this week when Britain announced that it won't be fielding a team of athletes at the next Olympic. They'll be sending a bunch of boots. Ian, having done so well on that one, how are you going to do on this, I wonder? The question is, why might the forgetful old remember new medicine? It's about people like me.
Is this Mrs. Curry? Suggesting that old people wrap up in bottles of pills. Or discarded egg cartons. To keep warm. I'm looking at my colleague. I don't know why.
This is Dr. Alzheimer.
I'm afraid
to whom you and your colleague bear a striking resemblance. when you get to an advanced age, Ian, you will discover that you will not remember the people called Ian. And apparently a drug has been brought over the Mexican border by David Jenkins, which helped to mitigate his sentence, which would otherwise have been about 70 years. And old people can take this thing and then remember who they are.
My God, I'm Barry Took.
Yes, it doesn't work in all cases.
God, thank heavens for that. For one moment, I thought I was him. However, this all concerns work at Bristol University on a drug to prevent senile dementia and memory loss in the elderly. This all concerns work at Bristol University on a drug... Yes, the drug seems to have stopped working. However, the scientists report tremendous success in trials where they're using it in one of the worst cases of senility yet discovered. Happily, both he and Nancy are recovering well. A brief respite now as we listen to another slice of nonsense, this time from our own Radio Times.
7:20 p.m. South of 60, a series of four programs about Antarctica, produced by Daniel Snowman.
Thanks to an anonymous Radio Times mole for that. Peter, here's a clue that goes something like this. I can tell you that was Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, sung by Elton John.
Isn't that rather tasteless in the circumstances?
Peter, your question is... on which settlement did the sun come out too early?
There was a libel case between Elton John and the Sun, and on reading the Sun's own report of the settlement, the one concession it made on the front page, he really was nice to animals. And the Sun paid him £1 million for apparently, and I don't know what else it said, saying he wasn't kind to animals.
But the judge it's getting worse, isn't it?
But the judge took a dim view of this. The judge said that the courts were not to be trifled with, and they really, having got this far, should have gone the whole way and appeared before all the men in wigs. And then the judge and the jury would have decided on the damages.
Yes, absolutely right. Very comprehensively answered. It's all about the Sun, the alleged newspaper, which jumped the gun by publishing a premature apology to Elton John. They admitted to several hideous libels. They called him a singer, a classy dresser, and hairy. And now we come to Alan. Who's broadcasting chapter and verse but won't swear by it?
This is the Gospel according to Michael Checkland. He's going to cut out all filth in the BBC in an attempt to make it in no position at all to compete with any other satellite service or whatever. It's going to be no filth at all. All innuendo will be cut out, references to the Princess Royal. No one will be allowed to say that if Elton John had been told by the Sun that he was too kind to animals, he would have got 3 million instead of just 1 million. We will not be able to say anything like that at all. Will be no four-letter words.
None at all.
Indeed, few words at all, if the news quiz is anything to go by.
It's all about the BBC Bible, their guidelines concerning the use of sex and offensive language on television. In future, the BBC will permit explicit sex and swearing only if it's absolutely essential to the violence. And the scores at the end of this round have leapt, because Richard and Ian have 6, but Peter and Alan have 9. Round 3 now, which we begin with a piece salvaged from a journal called The English Churchman.
The bishop resumed his crozier and mitre and pronounced the absolution with raised hand and extended 2 fingers.
Well, thanks to Mr. Foxen for sending that to us. Richard, still on a liturgical note, why could the end be nigh for mankind?
Well, this is more ecclesiastical news, isn't it, to do with our friend Dr. Runcie.
So.
And the latest piece of idiocy that his colleagues have produced, which is a report suggesting that references to man, mankind, and things in the prayers should be eliminated, and persons and people and all that sort of thing should be substituted.
Right, right.
And where will it end?
It's a Church of England report entitled Make Women Visible. Recommended that generic terms such as mankind should be replaced with non-sexist expressions such as humankind. God will retain his masculinity, however. Opponents of the idea said today that the report can go to the devil. She'll know how to deal with it. And before Ian's question, here's an item from the Highland News.
Chamber of Commerce Secretary Drew Purdon questioned the commitment of some members. I'd like it placed on record, he said, that we've been emasculated. The ball's in the council's court.
I hope Michael Checkland is not listening. That item was snipped by Alan Dreadmarsh and others from the Highland News. Ian, why is financial hardship so sad to relate? With heavy emphasis on...
Oh, relate.
Relate.
This is the new corporate identity for what used to be the Marriage Guidance Council. and it's now called Relate. And
Prince Charles.
Prince Charles, but not Prince Charles, but Princess Charles. No. Didn't she go and visit the Relate offices?
Yes, she did. Yes.
Right. Well, and she listened in on
bit of marriage guidance.
Bit of marriage guidance.
What was problems you had if you were married to an older man? This sort of thing.
Whether money was a problem, I can imagine. Yes, it's terrible. Yes.
And they talked it
too
through.
Much.
They talked it through.
Oh, really? That's
yes, in a caring, sharing kind of way.
Very good.
Very nice.
Cynicism is, I mean, it's really appalling, isn't it, when you think about it. It's the sorry tale of Relate, formerly the Marriage Guidance Council, who seem to be going broke. Now we understand Relate is under such extreme financial pressure that they can only afford to run as a singles club. And we pause a moment for this oddity from the Evening Argus.
A man driving a horse box stopped for speeding, told traffic cops he was late for a race meeting. But when one of them looked in the back of the horse box, he found it empty. The driver explained, "Well, someone has to carry the non-runners."
Well, thanks to Mr. R. Lardner and others for sending that. Peter Kellner now. Peter, who don't mind a young audience hisses, but are worried about the booze?
Worried about the booze? Is booze...
Kids and booze come into this.
There is a worry that children will be drinking too much lager and taking too much notice of lager advertisements, and they might end up doing all sorts of things which are ridiculous and silly that only grown-ups are supposed to do.
That's right. Yes, I think you caught it absolutely on the wing there.
They like the music, apparently. Four-year-olds, when they see lager ads, they're very excited by the music.
Oh, really?
Mm. Interesting. It's fascinating, that.
Perhaps Mrs. Curry should attack lager now.
That'd sell a lot of it.
This all refers to the report that claims that television commercials are turning children into heavy drinkers. This came to light after reports that the Milky Bar Kid has 3 cows a day, and children caught on the roads whilst under the influence risk having their stabilizers taken away for a year. Alan, who chops players' arms off to run better?
What?
They're not real people. Who chops players'
I'm
arms
terrified
off?
Well, I said what, because I thought this was an extremely offensive and upsetting question just before Christmas. I think it's about Sabutio.
It is.
I can't believe that what the world is... I mean, I begin to go into Ingram's fulminations about the apocalypse that is upon us. Apparently there are international Sabutio competitions where very small Robsons on these little bases push very small teams in order to make money and sell lager and all the rest. And they're cheating at it. I mean, I don't know how you can cheat at blow football or whatever it is, or flick football. But anyway, they are shaving bits off these minuscule Lilliputian players in order to make it all work better. I mean, I didn't think we'd have this just before Christmas when all these adults will be getting their Sabutio sets.
Do England still lose at Sabutio?
There aren't any England colours. You're not allowed to play international Sabutio if you're English. Ah. There's only Millwall or Colchester United. You can't even have Wimbledon now. The Wimbledon Sabutio players, when you open the box, you find they've got the arms pulled off anyway.
I'm not going to add further to that. I'm just going to tell you the scores at the end of this round. Ian and Richard to 10, but Peter and Alan are well in the lead with 13. Now the final round and a final musical clue for you, Richard. Who's the next fashion victim?
Yeah, well, this is about this Johnny who thought up Next, which is a popular shop of the type that sells clothes. And he was apparently the bee's knees at producing wonderful clothes and wonderful shops. And suddenly, like all such men, suddenly decided he wasn't any good after all, so they chucked him out.
He was chucked out by mutual consent.
Was he? Oh,
right. Yes, I don't think he was sacked.
We apologise to Mr. Davis. Any suggestion that he was sacked?
He was jolly well booted out. Said to in the Telegraph. What a... What a good paper that is, by the way.
I don't know, how can you can shop a respectable newspaper like that? You know, I do not know. The question was all about George Davis, founder of the Next Fashion Chain, whose own company gave him the boot, a calf-length lace-up number in tan pigskin. After 15 years, the Free George Davis campaign has finally worked. Ian, can you tell us how someone was kidding the Stoke-on-Trent kid?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, this is eggs, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I'm going to pass it to the other side.
This is a couple of people who thought they were being rung up by Jeremy Beadle, who said, you'll be very famous and very rich, and the police will love it if you throw bricks through as many windows as you can, and you'll be on television, and everything will be wonderful. So they went out and did this and put on cowboy uniforms to make it an even more spectacular, even more wealth-making enterprise. And then the cops came along and said, you're nicked, and the bloke who... that rung him up was a joker. Very weird joke.
Unlike Jeremy Beadle. This is all about a chap called Albert Swanwich, who is alleged to have dressed up as a cowboy and thrown bricks through a window because he thought he was on Jeremy Beadle's TV show. But wouldn't anyone throw bricks at a window if they thought Jeremy Beadle was behind it? No, but we pause now for another piece of journalistic nonsense, this time from the Belfast Telegraph.
The rabbits had to be gassed in their burrows, said Mr. McElroth. Now relatives of the deceased may visit the graveyard in peace.
And that was received with thanks from Mr. A. Emerson. Peter, your question now. How did a man of the cloth bag the wrong clothes?
Oh, this is a very sad story. There was a vicar at York Station who picked up his black bag to go home. This is his story. And he got home, and the bag was lying around for a couple of days, and his wife opened it and found it was full of black underwear and see-through whatnots. And anyway, a couple of days later, so he says...
He thought he was a woman priest.
a model rang up and said, I've got this dog collar and I don't know what to do with it. And there's a case of mistaken identity of the bags.
Is anyone meant to believe that story?
I doubt it, it's absolutely true. This is the bizarre tale of Reverend Minet of Bolton Percy, who brought the wrong suitcase home from the train. Don't laugh because I say Percy. The bag, we're told, actually belonged to a nude model. The vicar's wife opened the case to discover frilly knickers, see-through lacy bits, and a curious assembly of elasticated corsetry, which she assumed was the church's one foundation.
BBC joke.
She said that when she saw the brazier, she knew they weren't the vicar's. He's a 36B. Finally, Alan Corran, a legal question for you. Who turned his nose up at a wind of change?
I think this is about a Los Angeles court.
Yes.
It's a court of appeal. And a man up on a charge, which has ceased to be important because, as always in America, what happens in the law rather than what happens as far as justice is concerned is what's important. The defense lawyer is... I don't know how to put this at all. The defense lawyer has put in an appeal... On the grounds, well, there's only one way of putting it, on the grounds of prosecuting counsel farted all the way through. And it is... And the actual grounds for the... it's true. The actual grounds for the appeal are excessive flatulence on the part of the prosecution. But it wasn't accidental flatulence. It was sort of design flatulence. I mean, this bloke was able to play Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata when the wind's behind him, as it were. And throughout his summing up, as a sort of expression of derision for the defense's case, he just piped this merry tune through his trousers. And I have only one question, why me? There are four people here.
This is all about a case before a district court in California during which the defense lawyer's closing speech was constantly interrupted by the prosecutor breaking wind.
Beautifully put, if I may say so, Mr. Chairman.
The attorney said he hadn't heard anything like it since the testimony of Colonel North. Well, before revealing the final scores, let's see if our panel have found any interesting cuttings this week. Richard?
Well, this is another sad tale of marital strife from the Dundee Courier. It says, there were often arguments. She claimed he would hit her head against the wall, kick her up and down the stairs, pull her hair and drag her along the floor. I did not feel he loved me, she said.
Ian.
This is from the Stour Valley News. The heading is Ferret Stolen. Between 11 o'clock and 12:30 Friday night, some ferrets valued about £28 were stolen from Milton Abbey School. The thief is advised that they are carnivorous and is also advised not to put the ferrets in his pocket. No idea why that's funny.
It's all right.
Peter.
Well, I got something here from the Leinster Journal. It's an advertisement from Ludlow's Cat Protection League. It invites you to a grand coffee morning lasting 2 days.
And Alan, what have you saved up for us?
I have a heartbreaking and fortuitously seasonal, since it involves booze, tale from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus. A man who pleaded guilty at Bradford City Court to being drunk was asked by the chairman what he had to say. He replied, I've just come out of hospital where I've been having treatment for my drinking. I had a drink to see if they'd cured me.
Well, let me give you the scores at the end of the contest. Ian and Richard have done moderately well, I would say. Done a lot of mumbling, but you don't get points for mumbling. And they've got a total of 12. But Peter Kellner and Alan Corran, between them, have scored a magnificent 18. And then, therefore, this week's winners. And we leave you until next week and the quiz of the year with this cautionary tale from the Costa del Sol Weekly.
The art of diplomacy was not in evidence in this reply sent to Susan Wales after her letter of complaint to the local co-op. Thank you for your complaint, they wrote, and may I say how totally apathetic we are about it. We couldn't give a toss.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Richard Ingram, Ian Hislop, Peter Kellner and Alan Corran. The news was read by Eugene Fraser, your chairman was Barry Took, the programme was written and compiled by John Langdon, and the producer was Bill Dare.